a tool that I... Listen, guys, I don't like typing, especially after I broke my wrist. You should have seen me. I was like one finger. And I really worked at doing this. But this just lists the scriptures. Sometimes I list some other things on here. But, you know, take it home and study these scriptures. Open them up. After we've studied them, go and continue to grow in this, all right? So does anybody need one of these? And as I said, I don't want to see them as airplanes on the parking lot. Okay, y'all have one. Good, good. And if I do typos, you get to call it out and say, Pastor D, wrong place. And which I've been known to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Father God, we just come to you. We give you all praise and glory for the word. We thank you that this word, when it goes forth, it pierces our heart. It opens our eyes. It pops open our ears and it just gets deposited. And we declare that we are growing and changing to be more like you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you got your word with you? If you got it on your cell phone, let me see. Okay, I don't want to see Facebook pop. Guys, yeah. All righty, I think I can pull it together here. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we started a brand new series in the month of January. It's called FIT. Fit. And we're in our third week. So if you've missed it, go online or you can sign. You can get a free CD. Okay, funny story. Here we go, because talking about free CDs. So Sherry and I were just honored and blessed and just to go to the Kenneth Copeland's Ministers Conference last week. And we rented a car. But my car is a 2006. Sherry's is a 2008? Eight. So we rented a new car. Two blondes. Yeah, right. One blonde, one gray blonde. Okay, but you know. Okay, in the car, and we go pick up our rental car. And we go out there, and we finally find, first we get in the wrong one, then we get in the right one. This guy, they're so cute, they're laughing at us. So we get in the right, and I get the key, and I'm going, what is this? What is it? Okay, because I have a 2006. So this key does not go in that old place. No. Uh-huh. So then we're going, what do we do? We are laughing in the car. Okay, how do you start the car? Okay, there's a little button that says start. Nothing happens. So we're losing it. Sherry's going, just ask somebody. No, I'm not going to ask somebody. I did the man thing. We don't ask for directions, right? I'm not asking anybody. Sherry did. So she, do you jump out or you yell out the car? He's one of the Payless guys. He comes over, and he has an accent, so I didn't quite get him, but Sherry got it. She says, press the button and press the brake. Okay, I don't know what that'd have to do, but I thought you should laugh at two ladies on their road trip. Oh, I know why, because they don't have CD players in the car either. I was like, oh, Lord. So the day I get a brand new car, I am going to need all the help I can get. Can you imagine? You press a button, the thing starts. It's just funny. All right. Okay. Anyway, we're on third week of FIT. Hallelujah. What's that have to do? All right. FIT. FIT is all about what people usually do in the beginning of January. They're talking about how to get their body fit. They're going to go back to the gym. They're going to start exercising. They're going to start eating right. They're going to go to bed early. You know, they're just going to do a whole bunch of things. And those are good things because I'm out of shape. And I need to do this, okay? Those are good things. But what about the rest of us? Okay, what about the rest of us? And this is what this series is about, okay? So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. They'll pop it up there. And somebody reminded me, if you need to write in your Bible. So I'm going to tell you some things to underline. And Jack used to say, if you have a Bible that you can't underline, throw it out and get one you can. Okay? So start underlining in it. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, right? You see that? Underline that. Soul, underline that. Body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says, you need to preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body. Okay? Now, so that means we are a three-part being, right? And I have fill in the blank here. So get your pens out. Ready? I am a? Okay, I have a soul slash mind emotion, okay, and I live in this. All righty. So, and if some of you are going, no, I'm just me. All right. Psalm 119, 130. It's written there for you. Read it out loud with me. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Guys, I'm not calling you simple, okay? But this word will give light, and all of a sudden you'll get understanding. You'll go, oh, now I understand. And that's what the whole purpose when we gather on a Sunday or any time we gather is to bring light and understanding to what God says about who we are. All righty. So week one, we talked about we want to be fit, and we want our spirits to be fit. We want our spirits to be fit. That's what week one was all about. And you have to feed your spirit. Show me what you feed your spirit with. The word, okay. So you feed your spirit the word, and it's going to get fit. And we also found out there's certain things you don't do to your feet. You don't feed your spirit, such as eating Dairy Queen every day, even a little mini hot fudge sundae. You need to not do that. You need to starve yourself. Well, guess what? Your spirit, you need to starve certain things from it. And I'm not going to tell you what they are. You have to go listen to week one. Okay, so there's certain things you starve your spirit, and there's things that you feed your spirit. All righty. Week two, which was last week, we talked about our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will. Okay, and basically, instead of going through blah, 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 I'm going to say our mind today. Okay, so we talked about our mind, and we said we also have to do right things to our mind, put right things in our mind, right? So we said, what should you get out of your mind? It was your homework. Toxins. Toxins. We're supposed to get toxins out of our mind, right? I know, you just dozed for, the Holy Spirit was talking to you, Revelation. You just turned me off for a second. Okay, that's okay. Okay, you need to get toxins out of your brain. And everybody, at some point in time, toxins get stuck in there. Like if you can have a toxin of anger, if you're angry all the time, that's a toxin. All right? Toxins of unforgiveness. If you've got unforgiveness, that's a toxin. If you're in fear all the time, that's a toxin. And you need to get it out of your brain. Okay? Get it out of your mind. And the way you get rid of it, the Word of God. Okay. Today we're going to talk about, now that last week was what to get out. Today we're going to talk about what we do with our soul, what we do with our mind. Okay. So turn over to 3 John 1:2. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. That's the back of the book. John 1, John 2, John 3. Here we go. Well, there's only one chapter, but you know, thought I'd say that anyway. Alrighty. 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, raise your hand if you're the beloved. Man, you are so beloved of God. So he's writing to us. Beloved, that's, you know, us followers of Jesus. I pray that you may prosper. Underline the word prosper. Great word. Anybody like prospering? Give me yours if you don't want it. Okay, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Underline soul prospers. You guys see that? All righty. Now, he's saying, I am praying for you above everything else. I'm praying for you that you be in health, right? And that your soul or your mind prospers. Okay, so what's prosper? How about to be a success? How about to be on the right road and have things go well in life? Jim Cashman's famous word, I'm on a journey. Okay, we're on a journey. We'll be on the journey and have it be a prospering one, okay? Just making fun of you for 2 seconds. Man of faith, love it. Alrighty, so he says, the way you prosper and the way you're going to have success is you have to prosper in your mind. The way you're going to have success in your life, this path, this journey, is you're going to have to prosper in your mind. Amen? That was really cool, Pastor D. That was so great. All right. Now, every one of us at some point in time struggle with their brain, with their mind, with thoughts. Yes? Anybody ever struggle with? Yeah, you do. Okay. And what? I mean, you get a bizarre thought and it just gets stuck. And then you get up the next day and you're still thinking on that thought. And it seems like you're always thinking on that thought. And it could be, it's not like a machine gun, you know, nonstop, but it could be every time. Okay, I'll tell you one. This is a thought that gets stuck in my mind. Every time I hear an American Cancer Society commercial, I lose it. And it just triggers back. That's great stuff, okay? So it's a thought. So and I'm telling my kids, I just go, ugh! And so I'm not thinking on it all the time, but every time one of those commercials come up, it is a thought that's stuck in there. Anybody have some thoughts that just stays there, and it's just stupid thought. No, I'm not going to say stupid today. It's just not a good thought. It just stays there, okay? And you can't seem to get rid of it. You just can't shake it. It's been going on. Okay, so every one of us struggle at some point in time with our minds, with our thoughts, right? Okay, now, the thing about thoughts is it's not a respecter of persons. I don't care if you're Billy Graham. You got thoughts that come in here, and you have to, they could be bad thoughts. So thoughts are not a respecter of persons. They will come to everybody. If you're breathing, you got thoughts coming to you, right? Okay, but the big but on this one is, but it's what you do with those thoughts. It's what you do with those thoughts, okay? So today, I'm going to give you 3 simple things to do with your mind. Really, I was going to give you 30. I was like, oh God, we'll be here for a whole year 30. I was like, we could do this one. And the Lord says, put them in little piles. So I came up with 3 piles, and then I was like, ugh. Okay, so 3 simple things that you need to do with your mind. You need to do with your mind, okay? So open up to Romans 12. Hallelujah. Golly, gee whiz, it's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord and hear the word of God. So I'm going to give you 3 simple things you need to do. And I very seldom I say this, but I'm going to say, I guarantee, money back guarantee, if you do these 3 simple things, constantly this year, come 2018, you will be different. You will be different. You will change. And it'll be a good change, okay? So you do these 3 things, it will be good. It is well in my soul, okay? All right, number one, the scripture is Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We're going to talk about the bodies next week, but keep moving. Which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, underline mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so I think a lot of Christians have their minds stuck in the Old Testament. I really do. Because, you know, Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your ways. You know, and all that stuff, okay? And I think a lot of people think, yep, his thoughts are much higher than mine, and I'm not doing anything. I don't have to do anything, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, it doesn't talk about what you have to do with your mind, about renewing your mind, about transforming. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Old Testament. The only thing it says, just think on him. Which is still a good thing, all right? You should think on him, all right? But it doesn't tell you how to control your mind until the New Testament, the New Covenant, all right? So guess where you're living? You are in New Testament. You are no longer living that. There's great things in the Old Testament. But listen, let's go for the New, okay? And in the New, it says you are supposed to do things with your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, you. Do something with your mind, okay? Now, Write this down. No one else can do for you what you can do. You are the only one that can do what you need to do for your mind. You know, your spouse can encourage you. I'm encouraging you. I'm just throwing scriptures at you, okay? But you are the only one that can do what you need to do for your mind. Now, would I love to just take your brains and scrub them out and stick them back in there? Absolutely, but it's not the way it works, okay? So, number one thing that you need to do for your mind is you must renew your mind. Renew your mind, okay? I must renew my mind. Matter of fact, I need to renew my mind. You need to renew your mind, okay? So write that down. I must renew my mind. Now, real interesting, let me get this out. If you read Romans 12 in context, okay, read the first three scriptures up and then the three down. Okay, if you read that in context, okay, it doesn't say you're not to be conformed to this world, so now you can't dress this way, you can't act that way. In context, that's not what it says. Okay, let's read it again. Okay? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the context of that. Okay? So what he's saying is, God is concerned about your thoughts. He is concerned about your mind. More important that if you've got a suit and a tie on, or if you come in with a t-shirt, he doesn't care. He's concerned about your mind, okay? If you read that in context, all right? Amen. All right, now, where it says, don't be conformed. Everybody see the word conformed? Underline that in your Bible, and this is what it means, to be molded. To be shaped. All right. I love Play-Doh. I can see Play-Doh. All right. To be molded, to be shaped. That's what the word conformed means. All right. To be shaped by the world's way. All right. The world's way. That's the system of the world. How many of you know this world's got a silly system going on? It's got a system. It sure does. It's full of fear. Right? The world system's all about fear, okay? And so you live in this world, okay? You live in this world. Satan's the god of this world, okay? And so this is the system we live in, okay? And it's full of fears and lies, and it's just ridiculous. But it says, don't let this world system shape you, mold you, all righty? So the way that's going to happen is to renew your mind with the Word of God. The way that you're not going to be molded and shaped and always freaking out on fear and this and that, the only way that's going to happen is by renewing your mind with the Word of God. Okay? It's not complicated, all righty? Now, so he says if you want to be transformed, you have to renew your mind. Real simple. So write this down. Next golden nugget. Here we go. There is no transformation. Just put a big T and you can fill in the rest of the letters later. There is no transformation without your mind being renewed. There is no transformation without your mind being renewed, okay? But if you want to live a transformed life, if you want to live, be transformed, and not just have the world just throw you all over the place, you're going to have to renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, what does renew mean? What does renew mean? Okay? Renew, I love this. To renovate. To remodel. I love going to Lowe's and Home Depot. I'm going to remodel something. I love going in these stores. Jackie's going to get out of there. Don't go in that store. Because right away I'm thinking, what can I renovate? What can I remodel? Because my house is 30 years old. Okay? So the word renew means to renovate, remodel. So what he's saying is, by the Word of God, you can renovate, remodel, renew your mind. Isn't that simple? By the Word of God, Okay, you're thinking. You can renovate your thinking by the Word of God. Okay, so if you do that with the Word of God, it's going to transform you. And you are going to be a different person. You will live your life differently. Alrighty? So, why? Everybody say, why? Why do I need to transform my mind? Well, if you were thinking what I was thinking, you'd say, you better transform your mind. No, okay, here's why. Romans 8, flip over. I'm giving you a scripture. Pastor D, stay on point. Romans 8, 6 and 7. Here's why you need to renew your mind. Okay, now I'm going to toss some words around. Write them down. Just go. I'm going to try to go as slow as possible. All right, here we go. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded. Okay, you know what the minded part? To be carnally minded up here. And that means to be ruled with your lower nature, to be ruled with your flesh, to be ruled by this world's system, okay? Carnally minded is to be ruled by this world's systems, the way the world does everything, okay? So to be carnally minded to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded, to be ruled by the world system, the way it just does life all over the place, is death. And the Greek says it produces death. That's just plain old death. So if you've got a carnal mind that's just ruling you, not by this, it's going to produce death. Okay, that's not good, right? So keep going. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded will produce life and peace. How many of you would like life and peace in your life? Okay. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. So it's saying, if you want to be spiritual, when you're spiritually minded, this mind has a lot of this, okay? You're spiritually minded. You line up your thoughts with this. You're going to have life and peace. Isn't that delightful? Isn't that, it's just like Joe Basic, wonderful, easy. I love it. Okay, that's the things to do to it. Okay, here we go. Keep reading. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind, or you know, that earth-ruled, fleshy, like the world, is enmity to God. This carnal mind that's just following after whatever impulse the world says and everything they say, and fear or something like this. This carnal mind is enmity to God. Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't used the word enmity in a coon's age. I had to look it up, all right? You know, it's not a word you use, right? You do? Okay. All right, enmity means to be hostile to be God. To be hostile, to be opposed to God, to hate God. Oh, Pastor D, that's harsh. I know, I didn't write it. All right, so it says, to be carnally minded is enmity against God. So the mind that's not renewed is hostile to God, opposes God, hates God. The mind that's not renewed doesn't love God. Okay, pet peeve, ready? Don't ever say this to me, because I'll have to really work on my flesh. Pastor D, I just don't like reading. So, you know, I was like, do you read your Bible? Pastor D, I just don't like reading. You know what you just told me? You, like, look Jesus in the eye and say, I just don't like reading. Jesus is the Word. Just look at him and say, well, I just don't like reading. You've just looked in his eyes and said, I don't love you. And a carnally minded man hates God, opposed to God. Don't ever tell me you don't like reading. Okay. Okay. All righty. Moving right along. Happy, happy, happy. Okay. All right. You know, so when you have this carnal mind that's not renewed, it tells you to do things that followers of Jesus just ought not do, right? If you have a carnal mind and it'll tell you to do things that you ought not do. So let's be spiritually minded, all right? Here we go. The rest of that. Where am I? For to be carnally minded is to be enmity with God, for it is subject to the law. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So what it's simply saying, your mind will never submit to God until you renew it with the word of God. Okay? So your mind will never do the things God has planned out for you until you submit it to the word of God. Renew your mind. Get this into you, okay? So you start replacing those bad thoughts, you're going to have all sorts of new thoughts and new great things that God can move into your life. So again, it is vital. We have to renew our mind. Okay, back to Romans 12. You don't have to turn there. The whole thing about Romans 12 is to be transformed. To be transformed, okay? Now, a Bible commentary that I read several years ago, and I had to go dig them. Where did I read that? It says this. I finally found it this morning. I was like, Okay. Bible commentary talks about being transformed. Transforming your mind brings you to the capability to change who you are, your character, and even your personality. How many would you say, the person I was 40 years ago, I have changed. My character is a lot better. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And actually it was probably about, 10 years ago, I hung out with one of the girls from college and she goes, man, you're different. Yes. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Cause I have been doing this, applying this. And actually, if she could fill in the blanks, she'd probably say your personality has changed. So that's a good thing, all right? So transforming your mind brings the capability to change who you are, your character, and even your personality. So can you imagine if you're some mean, old, ugly personality? Don't point at anybody, all right? They're just meaner than tar, and you start renewing your mind to the word of God, you'll get transformed up here, and you'll start acting nicer and thinking better thoughts. Oh, sweet Jesus, right? All right, so let's talk about the word transformation, okay, or to be transformed. To be transformed means to change. Just write that down. To be transformed means to change over a time period. That's the part I was like, what? Okay, to gradually change. To be transformed means to gradually change. Now, right away, I think of, you know, the Transformers, the movies, okay? But this is a little better here, all righty? All right, so if you're writing notes, write this down. Transformation never happens overnight. Transformation is a gradual, takes time. So I want to go, whoosh. Good. It's just taking some time, but it's working, all righty? So it's not. So don't get frustrated because you read the Bible once and you want it to, bing, it's not going to happen, all right? It's a time thing, and it's you do it the rest of your life, okay? But it takes time. So transformation is where we get the word metamorphosis. This is, don't ask me to spell it, okay? And the best picture is the caterpillar, all right? Y'all know about the caterpillar, all right? What's those brown ones with a stripe on it that if they come show up, what's those? What do we call them? Woolly caterpillars. Okay, so you know what a caterpillar is. All right, caterpillars. Okay, the caterpillar changes metamorphosis into a, right. There's a change, right? There's a change, okay? Now, so crazy about these caterpillars. They're just creeping along on life, and they're just fine, just the way they are, just creeping, okay, crawling all over the place. But a caterpillar goes through four changes. First, it's one of those slimy little eggs. Then it's a caterpillar. Then it goes into that cocoon thing, and then it's a butterfly, okay? Transforms, metamorphosis, okay? So, now, if you were to take a cocoon, go on YouTube. Not now. Put your phones down. I did. and you break open one of those cocoons and look inside, they're so gross and ugly. Oh my gosh, it's just gross in there. It's ugly inside that cocoon where it's being transformed. That little caterpillar is getting ready to be a butterfly, but it's gross. Okay, so what's that do with us? When I'm in this transformation, guys, when you're transforming because you're working this word of God into your life and you're remembering it and you're choosing to walk in it, sometimes I'm a little ugly. So write this down. Grace, grace, grace. We need to be full of grace to people while they're transforming. I can no longer say I want to rip every hair out of your head and smash your face against the wall. Okay? Because I'm going to cut them a break and give them grace. Right? So during transformation, you open up that cocoon, it's ugly, but we're going to give people grace. Right? Love them. Encourage them. Righty? Now, caterpillars, this is so cool. Caterpillars, there's some special caterpillars that change in 5 days. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh my gosh. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you changed in 5 days to this butterfly, right? But for the majority, and especially this one caterpillar, right before winter, so let's say in the fall, this caterpillar creeps into and does the whole cocoon thing, and it stays in there all winter and spring and then summertime. So for almost a year, this caterpillar is being transformed. Okay? So some of you guys have been doing this for a long time, huh? I've been doing this transformation thing for about 40 years. And you know what? I still have, oh my gosh, I can't believe I thought that. All right, yeah, like you've never had one of those thoughts, right? All right, so listen, transformation takes time. Stick with it, all righty? So the question is, now the caterpillar are going to change into a, what are you going to change into? I'm going to look more like Jesus. The Bible says I am being transformed into the image of God. That's the butterfly. Right? The image of God. Okay? And actually, you know, I love this. We go from glory to glory to glory. It means I get better and better and better. If I daily do this, I am going to get better and better and better. I am going to be transformed. Okay? So, butterflies. How many of you love butterflies now? Righty? All right. Now, the interesting thing, if you have children and if you're with them every day, and then all of a sudden somebody hasn't seen your kids for 6 months. Matter of fact, I just said this about Landon. I'm going, holy Toledo, the guy's just grown a foot. He's got his pants up to here, okay? They don't see it, except for if they look at their clothes. But I hadn't seen Landon. You know, I just hadn't really looked at him. I was like, these legs, he is just growing. There is transformation going on in the inside of you. I am confident. If you are renewing your mind, I'm just confident. You may not see it, but, you know, it will. People will catch up. Maybe your spouse will say, woohoo, honey, you're so sweet, all right? It's transformation's going on. Alrighty, so here's the deal. We're going to wrap this up and go to number two. Here's the deal. You need to renew your mind. And if you renew your mind, you will start acting nicer, different, better. You will start talking nicer, different, better. And you'll start doing things. But you have to do this every day. Every day you have to spend time in the Word of God. Doesn't mean you have an hour. All right. I don't get a whole lot of segments of hours except for at night. And then I fall asleep. I was like, all right. So just spend time every day. And, you know, I talk about this. What is this book to me? It's my soap book. All right. S, find a scripture after I've been reading. Write it down. O, observation. How did that scripture speak to me? To me, not to you, to me. And then A, how am I going to apply application? How am I going to apply it into my life? I'm soaping, and P is I'm going to pray. So this is a good way to help you in your transformation. All righty. So number two, what's number two here? The second thing you need to do to your mind, pull down strongholds. Pull down strongholds. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians 10. So we need to pull down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, and that just simply means this time it's not a bad thing. It just means I'm walking on the earth, okay? I'm walking on the earth. So though you're walking on the earth, here we go. We do not war against flesh. You know, how many of you know you are not warring against your husband? You are not warring against your wife? You are not warring against co-workers, all right? We do not war against the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Underline, to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds, okay? Verse 5, casting down imaginations, underline that word, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, underline bringing into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so the second thing you need to do is to pull down and to pull up. Sounds like one of those diapers. Pull down, pull up, pull ups. Okay. No. Okay. So you need to, no, really, you need to pull down strongholds. Just, you need to pull down strongholds. You need to pull down strongholds, okay? So what's a stronghold? If you read Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind, you know the answer. All right? Great book to read. Also, second book. I bought this in Tulsa, and we're Fort Worth, and I am not giving it away because I gave my last one away, and we don't have them in the bookstore. Order it. This is a great book about that scripture, and it's by Matt Kamen. Soul control. Whoever controls the soul controls your destiny. Right there, just tape that up on the board. Whoever controls the soul controls your destiny. Great book. Okay. Alrighty, so what is a stronghold? Well, how many of you have had crazy thoughts that keep coming, that keep coming, that keep coming? I remember all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh my gosh, I have 4 kids. Like I was living in the, and I want them to all have a hope and a future and go to college. How are we going to send them to college? How are we going to send them to college? That was that crazy thought that just was just forever flying in my brain, okay? So it kept coming, it kept coming. That thought was, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? We don't have enough money. Oh my gosh. Ah! All right. So crazy thoughts, by the way, don't usually come from you. They come from something outside, all right? And especially if it's a bad thought, if it's a negative thought, it comes from the outside. Who's it from? Yep, the enemy, Satan, all right? Now, in the book of Acts, it says bad thoughts, negative thoughts will start to oppress you and wear you down. Okay? Those crazy, all right, it'll oppress you and wear you down. So if you've got some of these thoughts that just keep flying at you and then you notice, oh my gosh, I think I'm getting oppressed and worn down, you now have a stronghold. That's it. It's a stronghold. It's just got a grip on you, okay? So anybody want a stronghold? No, all right? So pulling down, it says you need to pull down or cast down strongholds. How do you pull them down? That word means, let me just say, it means to demolish. To demolish. Okay, to demolish. Now, have you ever had a fly just kind of buzzing around you and you just kind of go, But you know, after a while, I get ticked at that fly, get my fly swatter out, and I'm like, smack, 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 smack. I have demolished that baby, thrown that thing out. Stop laughing. Okay. So how do you demolish a thought? All right. How do you demolish it? Okay. How do you demolish a thought that's not supposed to be up here? Okay. How do you demolish? Well, the only thing, praise the Lord, the only thing that's going to demolish a thought that's not supposed to be up there is the Word of God. The Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to go, all right, demolish it. All right. So I love when people say, Pastor D, will you please pray that I never have a bad thought? I'm going to have to pray you die. Yeah. Come on. The only way to get rid of a bad thought is to replace it with the Word of God. All righty? Replace it with the Word, what God says. Replace those thoughts with what God says. Replace those thoughts. All right? So you And I listen, I will pray with you and I will encourage you and I will give scriptures to you. I will serve your plate. Okay, but then I'm going to give the plate to you. And you need to replace that thought, demolish that thought. You need to take those scriptures that I wrote on this piece of paper, okay? And you need to replace it with the Word of God and demolish those thoughts. Because the only one that can transform your mind is you. Amen? Okay, keep reading 2 Corinthians 10. Where are we? Casting down, putting down, demolishing imaginations. How many of you have some imaginations? Don't tell me what yours are. I won't tell you what mine are. Okay, on a beach. In Hawaii, all right? No, but they're not. This is not what it's talking about right there, okay? A little bit, but not really. All righty? So the word imagination, there's two words. Thank you, Rick Renner. He does all my digging for me. So cool. This is good. The word imagination is dealing with two kinds of thoughts. One is rational thoughts. The other one's irrational. I've had one of everything. All right. So what is a rational thought? An imagination that's a rational thought, okay? It's a thought that makes sense in your mind. It's rational. You know? It's like you're thinking the way I just figured it out. I'm thinking it this way. Yep, it makes sense to me. That's a rational thought. It makes sense to me. Such as, I love this one. You know, I just don't like praise and worship. You know, I got this figured out my way because I worship quietly. All right? I don't like this loud stuff, so I'm just going to just worship the way I think I should because I got to figure it out. I'm just going to worship quiet. That's my rational thought. Okay, so the Bible says, shout to the Lord, all right? Sing loud with trumpets and cymbals. That's the word of God. And yet, you know, I'm like, you know, I just worship God quietly. A rational thought, your rational thought's going to have to change and line up with God's word. And I will tell you something else. Your rational thoughts just can't figure out God. You'll never figure out God if you're going to do it your way. You're rational. And you won't get the Holy Ghost for crying out loud. No way. All right, with your rational thoughts. Okay, rational thoughts, imaginations. So sometimes, you know, they're not crazy off the chart, but we just kind of do it our way. That's a rational thought. Second one, irrational. Irrational thinking. Irrational thinkings, okay? Those are usually have to do with fear and worry. Fear and worry, okay? And they are completely unrealistic, like off the wall, off the chart. Except for they're my imagination, okay? Unrealistic thoughts, okay? Here we go. Unrealistic means it's never going to happen. Such as, somebody just sneezed on me at church. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get the flu. I'm going to get cancer. Someone just sneezed on me. Unrealistic, irrational. I mean, bleh, right? Okay, here's another one. You know, I can't go to church. Everybody's going to hate me. You haven't been to church in 5 years. They don't even know who you are. Irrational. Okay. Oh. My kids are going to get run over by the car. You just spent $5,000 to put in a wall-to-wall fence in your backyard, and you never let them out. That's irrational. What? It's fear, right? Irrational. Okay. So what do you need to do if you've got any of these thoughts going on? You need to replace those irrational thoughts with the Word of God. And you need to knock them down, baby. Knock them down. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's keep reading that one. 2 Corinthians. Oh, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right. In the Greek, this is the picture that bringing into captivity is. This is the picture that you get out of it. There's a soldier. All right. There's a soldier and he has captured the enemy. All right. And the soldier leads him in captivity and he's got a spear in his back. Stand up, Dave. Come on. I'm going to spear you. Here's my spear here. So I am the soldier. This is the enemy who I've captured. Turn that way, please. shaking him with his spear in the back, and he's moving, okay? Okay, because I got a spear in his back. So then I get them all locked up, right? And now you can turn around and sit down. That's good. Thank you, Dave. Okay, now the interesting thing, the captured enemy, if he moves, he knows, I'm just going to stick that thing through him and kill him. Because I have captured the enemy. You mess with me, baby, you're dead. And that enemy knows. So you know what that enemy does? It doesn't move. It remains silent and submissive. Anybody got some thoughts flying around, imaginations? Get that word of God. All right? Just keep it, keep it, keep it, keep it. Okay, so thing you need to ask. So let's just say you've got these thoughts in your minds and they're not supposed to be there. You need to ask yourself a question. You got some thoughts going on in your minds and you need to ask your question. Okay, what question, say, Pastor D, what question do I ask him? Ask the thought where it comes from. Okay, give you a case in point. Because this is real life. My mom passed away when I was 58 of a brain tumor, and I was 29 when she passed away. Yep, 29. And from 29 to 58, I had this thought, I'm going to die young. The thought would come. Because I lick this. The thought would come, you're going to die young. 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 I actually asked my sisters who weren't walking with God, do you ever get that thought? And they said, oh, yeah. I was like, that was stupid. Ask them. They're not even with the Word of God. So you're going to die young, just like your mom did. You're going to die young, just like your mom did. And you know what? Then I thought, yeah. Now I wasn't this bad, but I was thinking, yeah, I'm probably going to die young, just like my mom did. All right? Now, those are irrational, insane, just yuck thoughts, okay? So what do you do when you get those thoughts? Where do you get those thoughts? What do? You look at it and go, what? Is that out of the Word of God? Is that a God thing? Does that line up with God's Word? Okay, so you won't know that answers like my two sisters unless you are in this, okay? So what is the answer to that? So with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. So I would, when those thoughts would come, I'd say, whoa, that's not a God thought. I'd chuck it out. With long life, I will satisfy you. So when I hit 58, man, I had a party. I was like, devil, ta-da, you're wrong. You're a lie. Alrighty? So we have thoughts, guys. You have thoughts, imaginations, and you have to capture them. And the only way you capture them and make them submit is through the Word of God. And you may have to say it. You may have to say it. You may have to say it. But I make it submit. Okay, last one. Praise the Lord. Last one. Number three. Number three. The third thing you need to do to your mind. Last one. Third thing you need to do to your mind. I must put it off and put it on. We're going to read Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I wrote down 20. I don't know if I want to. So here's Paul writing to these guys, and he's telling them, you know, I taught you all about Jesus. You watched my life. It was all about Jesus and how you should live your life. And then verse 20, but you have not. And then he's saying, what do you think you're doing? And he says, you've not learned Jesus like that. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, okay, that you put off concerning your formal conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Okay, so he's talking about the life I lived before I walked new with Jesus. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to put it off. The thoughts I had before I received Jesus into my life, okay, I'm going to put those off. Because they're usually not good thoughts, okay? That's all that means, all right? Let's go, well, where am I now? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, so the third point you have to do says put off, and then you have to put on. If you are not putting off and putting on, if you are not doing that, I will tell you something. You're not renewing your mind, and probably your mind is controlling you splat all over the place. If you don't put off a bunch of those thoughts and put on the right thoughts, your mind's probably just telling you every which way to go, all right? You're a piece of cake to live with, I bet. Yeah. Okay, be nice. Okay, put off means to strip off. All right. So it's a wintry day. I got four little kids. We get them all dressed up. We got the leggings, the snow pants, the boots, the coat, the mitten, the scarf, the hat. They throw them out the door. And 10 minutes later, someone comes, I got to go potty. So you strip off all those clothes. Anybody ever do that? All right, strip off. Now, you need to strip off thoughts. You need to strip off and say, you know, I am not having that thought. I am not going to listen to that thought. I am not going that way. I need to strip it off, okay? Then he says you need to put on something. You need to put on something. So what do you put on? Put on this new man. Okay, put on means put on. How's that definition? Put on just means put on some clothes. All right, so you're going to put on. So here's what he's telling you. Those old thoughts, I'm going to strip them off. Then I'm going to get this word of God and I'm going to put it on. And then I will live the life of the new man. According to the word, all right? Put on new thoughts. Put on new thoughts. Now, what are those thoughts? What kind of thoughts should you be having? What kind of thoughts should you be having? All right, love, joy, peace. Okay, no. How about this? Who I am in Christ. Who I am in Christ. What? This is a thought you should have. Whatever Jesus did for me, those are the thoughts. How about this one? What I have in Christ. So, we have this in the bookstore. How many of these have you worn out? A whole bunch of these. It's Who I Am. It's called In Him, and Brother Hagin wrote this. Just get this and just read through it and underline these things and say these things. Okay, that's one of my books there. Now, so every time you have the thought, you're going to pull it off. You go, where the heck did that thought come from? All right, you're going to pull it off, and then you're going to put on new thoughts, which is the word of God of who I am in Christ and what Jesus has done for me. Like, oh my gosh, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am not going to rip the hair out of heads and smash them in the wall. I'm not going to go ballistic anymore, okay? I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. This is not going to render me powerless, what's going on in my family. God is going to help me get over this, okay? And I walk in perfect peace because perfect peace came into my life. Those are things I'm going to say. Those are the thoughts and the things that I'm going to say about my life. All right, now, so all those new thoughts replace the old thoughts. It's real simple. Now, turn over to Philippians 4, would y'all? Philippians 4, last scripture, and then we're going to wrap up. Okay, don't clock out on me. Okay, everybody say amen if you're at Philippians 4. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul wrote this so nice and easy, put it in a box. And actually what he did is he took the 3 points that I gave you and he put them all in one scripture. So if you don't know where to start, this is it. All right. So Paul wrote and put them all together in one scripture. Here we go. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. All right. Now, that word meditate, mutter. So I'm digging around. Thank you, Rick Renner. And this is his description. How many of you ever gone picking apples? You ought to do. Go to Brown's. Go pick apples. Just once in your life, put it on your bucket list. Just so much fun. Okay. So I've gone picking apples before. And you know, when I go picking apples, I choose which one I'm going to pick. And then I'm going to put it in my basket. Now, I am not going to pick one with a worm. And I'm not going to pick some little one. I'm going to decide, oh, yeah, and I'm going to put it in my basket. Picking apples, put it in my basket. Picking apples, I choose which one I pick and put in my basket. You know what the basket is? Represents your mind, guys, all right? And what this scripture is telling you, when you meditate, you choose what you need to put in your mind. I'm going to pick some rotten apple and stick it up there. I'm going to pick the biggest, nicest apples, okay? You choose, you pick and choose what thoughts you're going to put in your mind. That's what meditate means. And then I do it. I keep doing them. I take them, I put them up here, okay? So, now, the first part of the Philippians 8 there, he tells you what to think on. He actually tells you what to think on, right? Whatever is pure, what is lovely, what is ever good report, think on. All right, so you don't know what to think on? Think on something that's pure. Think on something that's lovely. You know, was it Brother Hagin used to tell the story, and he was probably telling the story from somebody else's story, but he's going to a funeral, and he's looking at the guy laid out in the coffin, and everybody's going, man, you know, he's a dirty, rotten Joe. I'm glad he's today. And he says, he gets up there, and I bet you he got this from Wigglesworth, but he looks in the coffin, and he goes, man, he sure had nice teeth. Sometimes, just pick one thing that's nice. And if all you can say they have nice teeth, at least you thought something nice. Oh, I'm not kidding. All right? So, Philippians tells you what to think on. All right? So, where do you get your thoughts? From the Word of God. This is where you're going to get all your thoughts from, all right? You go to the Word of God, you're going to find them, and you're going to meditate on them, and you're going to stick them up here, and you're going to meditate on them and stick them up here, all right? And when you do that, you're going to be transformed. Butterfly, butterfly, butterfly. Nice person. Says nice things. Acts real nice. Faith-filled person. Mighty woman of God. Mighty man, okay? That's because I'm meditating on what God says about me. Alrighty. Now, the thing about this is all my responsibility. This is my responsibility, okay, to pick and choose what thoughts. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to transform your mind, to take captive thoughts, to meditate. It's your responsibility. And you know, and God is so wonderful on how he changes us. So when someday when you're laying in that coffin, they're going to go, oh, they were so sweet. They were so nice. They were just okay. Because you had meditated a long time before you went home to be with Jesus. Amen. All right. Homework assignment down at the bottom of your page. Look at it. We do homework because the Bible says, be you doers of the word and not just pshing. Hearers only. Be doers of the word, not just being hearers only. You know, and years ago when I was teaching downstairs, people would come downstairs. Oh, Pastor D, I was Miss D. Miss D, that was so good upstairs. Well, what'd you learn? I don't know. You talk about pshing. I couldn't even remember by the time they went upstairs, downstairs to get their kids. So do your homework. I give you scriptures. Just sit down and just kind of go plow through these scriptures, all righty? So here's your homework assignment. Investigate your thoughts. Your spouse will help you. Get a best friend. They'll tell you. All right? I got to tell you a story. So this past week, we were at the ministers' conference, and they had 5 ministers a day for 3 days. I sat for 10 hours. And one of the ministers that got up, I really didn't like. I didn't like what some of his past. I was like, I've kind of had an attitude. And I was telling Cass, I called her up and I said, guess who's on tomorrow night? And she investigated my thought for me. And she said, oh, mama. Don't you remember this, this, and this? How could you? Because God says this, this, this. So if you can't figure this out, sit down with your mama. She'll help you. Investigate your thoughts. Sit down with your spouse, okay? You should. And I left space there. You can write on the back. All right. Investigate your thoughts. Find out the ones that don't belong there. And then replace them with the Word of God. Replace them with the Word of God. Is that good homework or not? Yeah, that's good homework. All right. So there's another good book. It's by Andrew Womack. So we've been talking about spirit, soul, and body. It's in the bookstore. You can go online. All right, get it. We don't ever make a profit for this. We just break even on this. And this is by Thomas Weeks. He says, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? Okay, it's a good one here. Your mind, your soul. We got great books. Go to the bookstore. And the mini book, okay? And we've got a couple. Oh, here's one. I wore the cover off of this. This is by Kenneth Copeland. It's called Write Oh, no, this isn't it. Okay, I saw. There's a different one. It looks right and wrong thinking. I think it's by Brother Hagin, not Kenneth Copeland. Hagin, right and wrong thinking. I just grabbed him in the bookstore. Right and wrong thinking. So if you're like, well, if you're doing the homework and you can't figure out what to write, you need to get that book. If you're like, I don't know what to write about my thinking. What's not right? Go get the book. It'll help you about. It'll be beautiful. Okay. Shall we pray? Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. We're talking about our soul fit. And in order to do that, we have to put the Word of God in our mind. We have to replace the bad thoughts. Amen. Father God, I thank you that your Word is so powerful. It has brought light and understanding to us today. And Father, we ask Holy Spirit just to keep the Word just swirling and chewing before us throughout this week so that we can get our soul, our minds fit, and we can accomplish all the things you called us to do. And in Jesus' name, everybody real still. If you're here today and Jesus has never entered your life, you hear about him, you know a little bit about him, and you're here and go, you know, I would like Jesus to be in my life. I would like him to be Lord of my life. Matter of fact, I'd like him just to take care of my life. And you know, he's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. If you're thinking that, he's knocking at your door. And the Bible says, all you have to do is open the door and say, come on in. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Because I'll tell you what, you can never be perfect. You can never do enough good things. You can never go to church to make you good. The only thing that will make you stand in the presence of God just beautiful is when you receive Jesus. So if there's anybody here and you'd say, Pastor D, I would like to receive Jesus Christ today. I need him. I want him. I'm excited. I have heard the knock and I'm asking him to come in my life. Would you raise your hand and we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to embarrass you, but if you want to, just raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Okay? Anybody here? You say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need help in my life. All right. All right.